Hello, welcome to Being Green. I'm Glynis Crook. Well, it's day 8 of the 21-day coronavirus pandemic lockdown, and it's been a challenging time for most of us. But one positive has been the impact that the reduced human activity has had on the environment. We hear reports of clear skies over China, the canals of Venice turning blue-green, and significantly lower air pollution levels recorded across Europe. But will this positive impact last? And are there any lessons to be learned from this period for our fight against climate change? I'm joined online by Peter Johnston, a climate scientist at UCT's Climate System Analysis Group. Peter, this has been, as someone described, the largest scale unplanned experiment in the lowering of greenhouse gas emissions. But this is just a temporary reprieve, isn't it?
Yes, Glynis, obviously it is. We had a similar thing during 9/11 when there was a ban on air travel in the States, when, you know, the amount of sunshine that reached the earth was much higher, the air was much cleaner, the atmosphere was cleaner, and everyone thought, well, that was great. But it's a temporary blip in a long-term rise in pollution levels and environmental despoilation. So while it's wonderful to stand on one's stoop and look out into the distance and see how wonderfully clear it is, the question is obviously, is this any part of this sustainable? Is there any way we can maintain this sort of environmental repurification, if you like? And that's the massive question, because as everyone is doing, we're talking about the impact of the coronavirus and the lockdown on the economy. We're talking about the impact on the environment, and one cannot divorce the two. And that's unfortunately the issue. You know, when it comes to the economy, we've got essential and non-essential goods that we can go and buy. We've got essential and non-essential industries that are operating. And you have to ask, when things get back to normal,
is there going to be any difference?
Yes.
Peter, as you suggested, things could go either way. The world economy has taken a hard knock from this lockdown. Governments, budgets have been stretched. This, on the one hand, could mean that in their battle to jumpstart economies, they're not going to have enough money or political will to fight climate change. But others are suggesting that this could actually be like a wake-up call, and it could be a fresh start where the money that is being given to give this economic impetus could actually be spent on more sustainable and renewable projects.
I'm very skeptical about that, Glynis. Just on Friday, the Minister of Environmental Affairs increased the minimum standard for environmental sulfur dioxide pollution in the country, which meant that our limits, instead of being lowered as the rest of the world do, have actually been increased. And that's very, very sad to hear, and we're still waiting to hear the reason behind that. But I've got a sneaky suspicion that in order to jumpstart the economy, it's going to be very much a case of we must lift restrictions on environmental concerns instead of tightening them. And my big desire, if I was in charge of the world, would be to say, let's focus on the economic activity which is environmentally friendly. Let's invest in that over and above the traditional environment and traditional economic indicators or measures that we've used in the past. For example, I would not prioritize car sales, for example, and motor travel. I certainly wouldn't let the fuel price decrease come through. I'd rather use the money that we're saving there to invest in renewable energy and public transport and electric cars. You know, that's the sort of focus that one has to look at. One has to say, well, what are we actually focused on? Is it economic recovery at all costs, or are we going to try and factor in this wonderful environmental bonus that we've got of clean air and reduced carbon dioxide? You know, what kind of decision making are we going to do? And I fear that we're not going to make the right choice worldwide.
And I believe, as you were mentioning, that you mentioned South Africa, but I believe the United States has also lifted some of the restrictions, environmental restrictions. But apparently the European Union is thinking of keeping it. COP26 has been, this key climate change summit that was due to take place in November, has been cancelled and put forward to next year. Do you think that that is going to add to us having our mind taken off the climate?
Well, Glynis, that's always, for me, a very tricky issue when you get 200,000 people climbing into airplanes, flying halfway across the world to go and have a meeting about climate change. So my suggestion is to let's take this bull by the horns and say, okay, we're going to do all these negotiations online. We're going to have, high-level discussions. by video call, and we're going to reduce the sort of self-gratification of people going and having a, you know, bit of a party in a foreign country where, yes, they are trying to settle some protocols and to make some decisions. But imagine if we could do this all online, and imagine the savings we could then advertise to the world and all those skeptics that are saying, yeah, why aren't the climate scientists practicing what they preach? And it's not climate scientists on their own. Let's not put the blame on us. There are plenty of other people that go to these COPs, decision makers, lobbyists,
journalists,
and so on. So really, I think it's an ideal opportunity to say, well, let's make this an electronic meeting. And I know that meeting in person is beneficial always, because there's a much better chance of making a decision if you can look someone in the eye. But let's try it out. I mean, the previous COPs haven't been that successful, in my opinion.
We're running out of time, Peter, but very briefly, we've seen positive impacts for the environment over this coronavirus period so far. Do you think that this governments could learn any positive lessons from this? Is there any hope that they will, bringing together people all working together to fight something?
I think there's a great opportunity, and you know, we are riding the crest of a wave here where social media and communication has probably never been highest. People have probably never watched the news or been online listening to, reading newspapers and so on as much as they have now. And I think it depends on good leadership here, where the good leadership, where the Minister of the Environment combines with the Minister of Finance and says, right, let's use this opportunity to promote good, sound economic environmental policies so that we can push forward to a better world for all.
And here's hoping that will happen. That was Peter Johnston, a climate scientist at UCT's Climate System Analysis Group. And that brings us to the end of this week's edition of Being Green. For me, Glynis Crooks, stay safe and goodbye until next week.